This is Pastor Mike Eccleston speaking, and I would like to welcome you to Heritage Baptist Church's online audio library. These messages are provided not as a substitute for the assembling of God's people, nor as a substitute for the regular reading of God's Word, but rather as a spiritual supplement for a deeper understanding of His Word. May He add His blessing as you listen.
Good evening, everybody. You turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And I will read, the focus will be on verse 8 tonight, but I believe we'll start reading verse 6. We'll go verses 6, 7, and 8. Philippians 4. Philippians was written to the church at Philippi. I don't know if you ever noticed this. Every one of the books from Romans to Philemon, the first word in every book is Paul. And what that means is that Paul is the author. You know, we write letters and I'll say, dear so-and-so. That's how it starts. The letters in your Bible, at least particularly Paul's, it's the opposite. It's Paul who's the one that wrote it. And then if you look a couple verses down, it'll say to, and it'll say oftentimes the church at, wherever, Ephesus, Philippi, and so forth. So what's really neat, 13 books are written by Paul, Romans to Philemon. What's really neat is he wrote to, guess how many different churches? Well, there's a church at Rome, Romans. There's a church at Corinth. There's a church at Galatia, Ephesus, Philippi, Colossae, Thessalonica. How many is that? Seven churches. Sound familiar? You get the book of Revelation. John addresses. Now, it's not the same number of same churches, but same number of churches. Seven churches. I think the only one that's common would be Ephesus. Out of Paul and what the ones that John writes to. So then you got, after Thessalonians, you've got 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. So he writes to seven churches, three different men. And those men are leaders in the churches. So when you read Paul, you know what you're getting, folks, is you're getting some revelation given only to Paul for us in this particular time we live in today, which is the time of the church. And not that you want to just take Paul and that's it, but you want to make sure that you're getting key doctrines for the Christian life from the Apostle Paul. He's the apostle to the Gentiles, all right? So a little background there. Go to Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a couple of good verses that with some promises in it, huh? That word careful there in verse 6, this is the difficult one. You ready? It means full of care. I used to read that and I'd be so confused because we see careful as being a little bit different. But you don't have to worry about anything according to the Bible because you have someone you can take anything to who knew about it before you even told them and can fix things, can change situations in people's hearts. And then verse 7, I love verse 7. The peace of God. Do you have the peace of God? If you are saved, then God has given you the peace that passeth all understanding. That's an awesome thing. Okay, now verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So, verse 8, he gives you a list of things that we're supposed to be thinking on. And as a result of thinking on these things, you'll see that you will have much more peace in your life. And you won't have all this worry and stress in your life. So, tonight we're going to attempt to go through this list and see what the Bible says about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. And see what the Bible says about the right way to think. So let's pray before we get into this. Lord, we thank you for these words that are words that can nourish us. These are words that we need in the days ahead as we just face this world we live in. And we just need to be encouraged tonight. And we need to be may need to be rebuked tonight. I don't know what we need, but you do, Lord. And we just want to pray that your word would do its work tonight. Help us to go away from here with the right idea of the things that we're supposed to be thinking on according to what you would have us think about. And help us to understand the power of thoughts as well as we go through this. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Real quick, we're going to keep coming back to Philippians 4, so stay there. But go to Mark chapter 8 and just show you something here real quick. Have you ever noticed, if you've read your Bible, read it three times or more, you found out that the Bible lays things out completely opposite of the way the world lays things out. You ever notice that? It's not even close. It's the complete opposite, the way that God views things and the way that you and I view things. I'll just give you one example, just kind of introduce us into the proper way of thinking. Go to Mark 8 and go down there to, I got to find the place I was at just a minute ago. Try chapter 9. Yes, chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, if you look at verse 33. Mark 9, verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that ye disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And the disciples here are having a little argument amongst themselves. And then the Lord says, what were you guys arguing about? And they were arguing about who the greatest apostle was. And if you don't keep reading, I would think that Jesus Christ would rebuke them for having this conversation. And he doesn't. You know what he does? He tells them the road to greatness. And the road to greatness, just before we read here, the road to greatness according to the way the world lays things out is you made a lot of money, right? You were super successful in whatever field you chose to be in. And again, usually that involves money. If you're talking about sports, you make the Hall of Fame. Everybody knows your name. And these things would be considered great in the eyes of the world we live in, right? Okay, so prepare the way here. Jesus Christ is not going to say anything like that as far as being great. But this is the biblical way to be great. You want to be great? It's okay to want to be great if you're going to do it the way that God lays it out for you here. So look at what the Lord says here, verse 35. And he sat down and called 12 and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." Now, doesn't that run completely contrary to the world's way of thinking? If you want to be great, if you have to, you step on people to get to the top, right? According to the world. You want to be great in the eyes of God? You lower yourself. You humble yourself and you become the lowest of low. You can become a servant. And if you read the Gospel of Mark, the whole book, the Gospel of Mark, portrays Jesus Christ as a servant. Philippians 2 says, he took upon him the form of a servant. Is Jesus Christ great? Yes. Do you know why he's great? Because he became... Now, consider this. God in the flesh, didn't he have the right to tell everybody here what to do when he showed up? He had the right to do that. He's God. What did he do? Just the opposite. He lowered himself. He humbled himself, became a servant. And as a result, he has a name above every name. Every name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess, right? So that's just a little introduction there. The biblical way to think, just to prepare the way here, is completely opposite of the way the world would have you think about things. So go to Philippians chapter 4 again, and let's just kind of go through the list, and we're going to run a bunch of cross-references here. I like doing cross-references because that means that there's less of a chance of me getting in the way. I mean, really, I like to just let the Bible do the talking here. So don't just go with what I'm saying here. Look at what your Bible says. I hope you have a Bible to look at here. But in verse 8, he's going to give you several things here about what you should be thinking on. So at the end of the verse, he says, think on these things, and then he gives you these things at the beginning of the verse and throughout. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are, here's number one on your list. Things you ought to be thinking about. Things that are true. Okay? What are some things that the Bible says are true? Whatever those things are, we ought to be thinking on them, right? Okay, let's find out what the Bible says is true here. Go over in your Old Testament to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Again, keep coming back here to Philippians 4. What is true according to the Word of God? I'll tell you some things that the world tells you are true that are not true before we get to this. Evolution is not true. But the world would have you think that it's true. The world would have you think that the way to have a great country and a great life is to have an election for the right president. Boy, that's a bunch of nonsense, isn't it? I don't care how old you are. You've lived long enough to see that's a failure. And isn't it interesting? The eyes of all Americans in November and leading up to that are on the election, right? And they always see a politician as the one to make changes, right? And lead the way to prosperity for our country. Isn't it interesting? They look to a politician for that. There's going to be a politician that will actually solve all the problems. He will be a politician. He'll be the king. Isn't that interesting? People got the right idea, but they got their thoughts in the wrong place about who that person is. It's not on any of the candidates. It ought to be on Jesus Christ. He's going to be the right kind of politician. He's going to be the best politician. You can make all your check marks down the list. He'll top them all. You want justice and fairness? We're going to get to that one here in a minute about thinking about things that are just. You want justice and fairness? He's going to be just. He's going to be fair. You want someone that you can trust? He's the one that you can trust. You want someone not to open their mouth every time they open their mouth, they're telling a lie. Modern day politicians, right? You want somebody that's not going to ever tell a lie? It's Jesus Christ. Okay, we ought to make some bumper stickers. Jesus Christ, 2016, amen? I mean, that's the right way to think. If your hope is in anybody else, you're gonna be disappointed. You're setting yourself up for disappointment. Okay, Psalm 119, look at verse 160. What are things that are true? 160, this is real simple. Thy word is true. Notice what it says here. Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. When does God's word begin being true? Where do you open it up and it starts being true? Beginning. In the beginning. So isn't that interesting? That verse right there says true from the beginning. And what's one of the most disputed things in our world today? Like I just said, how did we get here? How did this world begin? Well, God's word is true from the beginning, and it tells you that God spoke the world into existence. That's the way it happened. And modern science is supposed to deal with things that can be seen, felt, heard, observable things, right? And yet the thing that modern science pushes on all of us has never been seen or heard of or tasted or touched or anything like that, because nobody saw an explosion in outer space 6 billion years ago, or however many billion years ago it was. Have you noticed in the textbooks, most of you folks, whenever you were in college or whenever you're in high school or college, it was 6 billion years ago, or some maybe 3 billion years ago. It's every year it gets to be more. Because I'm serious, I'm not making that up. Check the textbooks. They added billions of years because evolution needs more time to get to where we are now in order to happen. And if they keep changing it, that ought to just have a red flag go up that maybe they're wrong. And obviously, according to the Bible, you test evolution against the Bible. The Bible's right, and evolution's wrong. Okay, so another thing. Go to John 15. Thy word is true. So things you ought to think about. The word of God. The first time that the word success is mentioned in the Bible is Joshua chapter 1. Go to John 15 here. But the first time success is mentioned in the Bible, actually the only time in your King James Bible success is mentioned, is Joshua chapter 1. Did you know that? Verse 8. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou may observe, I'm not going to get this exactly right, thou may observe to do all these things, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. And according to Joshua 1:8, the way to have success biblically is to meditate on the word of God. And you know what meditate means? It means to think. Okay, now here's a good one for you. The word M-U-S-E, muse. To muse means to think on something, right? Now, Alexis can tell you, she learned this in her English class. If you put an A in front of a word, it makes it the opposite. Okay? I'll give you an example. Moral. A moral person has standards of morality, right? Put an A in front of that. That's a person who has no standard of morality. Amoral. Okay? Put an A in front of the word muse. What do you have? Like amusement parks? Okay, I've been to amusement parks. They're enjoyable, but you know the bad thing about amusement parks, or the sad thing, I should say, is they require you to not have a thought in your brain. In fact, your brain goes on vacation when you go to amusement parks. And it's okay every once in a while, but you know what a lot of people just live for? Amusement. Entertainment, amusement, and I think a lot of reason why is because they hate the reality so much that they try anything they can to escape it. If you would think on the right things, beginning with things that are true, you wouldn't want to escape reality all the time, because you would see that the reality you live in is only for a short time and there's something better coming. All right? So John 15, what else is true? according to the Bible. If you want to think on true things, what is true? Verse 1, this is Jesus Christ speaking. I am the true vine. So what things are true according to the Bible? Well, God's Word is true. Jesus Christ is true. Have you ever noticed how the Word of God and Jesus Christ are inseparable? Jesus Christ is perfect. The Word of God is perfect, right? Jesus Christ, obviously, when it comes to salvation, He's the one who does the saving, right? He's the one that you have to trust. The Word of God tells you about Him. The two are inseparable. People hate Jesus Christ, don't they? People hate the Word of God. People try to find something's wrong with what Jesus, the way He was when He was here on earth, try to find flaws with Him. People try to find flaws with the Word of God, don't they? But then there's people like us right here tonight who love Jesus Christ. And if you love Jesus Christ, you also love the Word of God, right? The two are inseparable. So you're going to see on several of these things tonight, Jesus Christ and the Word of God will be the things to be thinking on, and the two are inseparable. So if you look down there at verse, let's keep reading here actually. Verse 1, I am the true vine. When I read that, if there's a true vine, then there must be a false vine. Genesis chapter 3, what do you have? You got the tree of life, the tree you want to be eaten from if you're in the garden. You got another tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is the only tree they were not to partake of. You know what people are into more than they are into Jesus Christ? Knowledge. Higher education, right? The more degrees I get, the better off I am. That's oftentimes not the case. All right? So the true vine, Jesus Christ. Let's keep reading here. Verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, He taketh away, and every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, I love this. Now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is not the message, but the Word of God has cleansing ability. Jesus Christ's words have cleansing ability. I love verse 5. Go down there to verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I got this underlined on my Bible because I need this. For without me, ye can do nothing. He's the true vine, and if you're trusting him, that's a great thing because you can't do anything without him. All right? Isn't it sad that we trust him for salvation and then stop? We should be trusting him for everything, right? He's the truth. We can go to John 14. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So things that are true, the Word of God is true, Jesus Christ is true. Think on those things. Those are two great things to think about. All right? One more. Go to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10, Old Testament here. One more thing that is true. Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10:10. Bible says, but the Lord is the true God. Things that are true. That's a reference right there to God the Father in the Old Testament. Things that are true. The Word of God, Jesus Christ, God the Father. Look what else it says here. Let's keep reading. He is the living God and an everlasting King. And again, if He is the true God, you got a lot of false gods in competition with Him, don't you? He's the one that's true. Think on Him, on what He did for you. I love the fact that we do testimonies here at Sunday school because you hear what God is doing today in people's life. You know how He can do anything in your life? Because He's real. He's true. He's living. He wants to do things. And when you think on Him, when people give those testimonies, I am more inclined to think about, wow, I remember when God did something to me that was very similar to that. It's good to think on things that God did for you. The times where you're going through difficult times, think about what God had done previously for you in the difficult times, and it'll encourage you. This is why thinking on things that are true will give you peace in your heart. We read the verses before that. It talks about the peace of God. Peace comes through having the right kind of thinking. So that's the true things. Go back to Philippians chapter 4. Think on true things. Think on Jesus Christ. Think on the Word of God. Think on God the Father, what He's done for you. Okay, so there's a few things on things that are true. Okay, next thing here. Verse 8, Philippians 4, 8. Whatsoever things are honest. And we just talked about true things, and somebody who's honest is somebody who tells the truth. Somebody who's dishonest is a liar. All right? You ought to be thinking about honest things. So here's a good one here. Go to Luke chapter 8. And I'm not going to apologize for being repetitive tonight because this is what the Bible says, not me. But you're going to find out that this is going to sound like a broken record a little bit tonight. So I think God does it on purpose. It's interesting. I'm working in the world of education, and the world of education, they're getting away from rote memory. Rote memory is no longer the way to learn. We got a room full of folks here that learn things by rote memory. Am, is, are, was, were, be, being, been. Those are, help me out, share, those are the being verbs, right? You know how I learned those? I heard my teacher say them over and over, and then we said them over and over. All right? You know how I know the books of the Bible? Rote memory. Repeat them over and over. I have a little song that goes with them. All right? And you find out in your Bible that God repeats things. Do you know why? When things are repeated, the point is driven home. And then I've said, the modern way of education, you're getting away from that. Things don't stick, do they? If you don't drive the point home, they don't stick. So you float over here and you float over there. And then isn't that our world that we're living in? People just float. Especially when it comes to churches, blown about by every wind of doctrine. They're over here one day, then over here one day. Okay? Line up on line, precept upon precept. That's the way to learn. I mean, repeating things is good. I know that you can have vain repetitions, and that's not good. But repeating things for the sake of learning is good. So you'll see that tonight as we go through here. God uses that method. If God uses a teaching method, we should use it. All right? All right, look at Luke chapter 8, verse 15. This is the parable of the sower. And this is the first mention of the word honest in your New Testament. The word honest does not show up but a handful of times. I think it's under 10 times in the New Testament. Here's the first mention. It goes through the different kinds of ground, and then you get to verse 15, and it says, "But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." So notice the word honest there is used to describe a person's heart, and the person's heart that is honest and good receives the Word of God. Okay, not everybody receives the Word of God. In fact, if you back up here, back up to verse 13. And these are the people that receive the seed on the rock. If you look at verse 13, "They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the Word with joy, and these have no root which for a while believe, and in time of temptation, fall away." So here's a person whose heart is drawn away by temptation. Okay, so there could be some dishonesty there. When you go to verse 14, I think you really got some dishonesty going on here. Verse 14, that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked. And notice what they're choked with. Cares and riches and pleasures of this life. The cares and riches and pleasures of this life are oftentimes as dishonest as can be. You know how a lot of people earn their living? Dishonestly. Dishonest fashion. And then pleasures of this life. I was talking about amusements before. If you get caught up all in the pleasures of this life, you're not exercising the ability that God gave you to think and process things. So notice verse 15, the contrast. An honest and good heart. So if you're going to receive the Word of God with an honest heart, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to see yourself the same way the Word of God sees you. Okay, go to Psalm 119. Let's look at another cross-reference here to kind of lay this out for us. Psalm 119. Brother John and I came across on visitation yesterday an individual that said, "I'm a very positive person. I like being around positive people. I do. I like upbeat people. I like that. And I think that's good to be around I work in an environment with a lot of positive people. I enjoy it. But I've noticed something in that environment, and I've noticed something about people who are just constantly positive. When faced with something critical or negative about themselves, they don't want it. Now, that's a problem, because to be saved, you got to look in the mirror and see, I'm wrong. And you got to be critical of yourself. And realize what God says about you, not what everybody else, because everybody else could tell you how great you are. And God could say, you're a wicked sinner and you're on your way to hell. Doesn't matter how great you are in the eyes of people. So there's a great need to look at ourselves the way that God lays out in His Word for us to see ourselves. That's called having an honest heart, thinking on honest things, okay? Look at Psalm 119, verse 59. 119:59. Bible says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. So there's a person who considered their own ways and realized that they were wrong. So what did they do? They turned their feet unto God's testimonies. That would be God's word. So if you're going to actually be honest with yourself, you're going to have to look at the Word of God and measure yourself according to the Word of God. We're into measuring ourselves with other people. We all are. We have a tendency to do that. And you always have a tendency, if you've done any witnessing, people always have a tendency to point to somebody else that's worse than them. All right? I think we ought to measure ourselves. Measure yourself to Jesus Christ. And the imperfections will come through real clear. You can measure yourself. You can always find somebody worse off than you are. And when it comes to a worse sinner than you are, you can always find somebody. You measure yourself to Jesus Christ, we're all in the same boat. We're all short. We're all deficient. We all need Him. So an honest heart is going to say, this is what the Bible says about me. And that's true. That's accurate. That's right. I need to change my way of thinking to get in line with the way that God lays it out. We came across a great verse in Isaiah 55 this week about God's ways being so much higher than our ways, and God's thoughts being so much higher than our thoughts. And the ways of man are so contrary to the ways of God. We got to get our thinking in line with His thinking. And I'll tell you, the longer I live, I've said this before, the longer I live, I remember a time when people were more willing, as a younger person, people were more willing, when you witness to them, to receive the truth about what they really are. But you're living in a world where they're fed constantly about how great they are, and what a trick the devil's played on people, because they think they're okay. But the biblical way to think is, I'm not okay. If I'm going to be honest, I'm going to measure myself by the Word of God, and I have thoughts that are wrong, I have motives that are wrong, my eyes have a tendency to stray, I'll look at things I shouldn't, I have a tendency to hear things I shouldn't. This is any of us. And we've got to measure ourselves according to the Word of God, and you will always come up deficient. Always, all right? That's a biblical way to think. So there's true and honest, and running out of time here, so we got to hustle. There's two out of six, I think, we got to cover tonight. So let's get going here. Philippians chapter 4. But those things go together. The true things and the honest things, they go right together there. Measuring yourself according to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ. You'll come up and find something wrong all the time. Well, that's negative. There's a guy many years ago wrote a book, Norman Vincent Peale. The Power of Positive Thinking. And if you just think positive thoughts, your life will be great. If you think positive thoughts all the time, you can end up in hell. That's the truth. There's power in having negative thoughts about yourself to get in line with what the Word of God says about you. All right? So Philippians chapter 4, let's look at the next one. We got true and honest. Let's look at the next one here. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. What does the Word of God say is just? Go back a few books to John chapter 5. And again, you're gonna see me hit the repeat button here, but I think that the Lord did this on purpose for us. John chapter 5. Things that are just. All right, verse 30. John 5:30. Jesus Christ talking, He says, I can of mine own self do nothing. That's quite a statement. That's the Lord Jesus Christ talking. What do we think we can do if He can't do anything without God the Father? Isn't that something? This is the Lord saying that. He says, I can't do anything. It's my Father. And yet we think that we can get things done on our own. Who are we to think that? If the Lord Jesus Christ had to depend on God the Father. He says, I can have my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father, which has sent me. So, things that are just. You know what's just? The judgment of Jesus Christ is just. The way that He lays things out is just. So, you want to really get the mind of Jesus Christ? You know, you want to think like Jesus Christ? Well, get in the Gospels and read about the way that He saw things. you'll see that some of the things he says are just off the wall. If you really dig into the Gospels, you'll see a different Jesus Christ than the world portrays. You'll see Jesus Christ the way he really is, and he'll say some off-the-wall things sometimes. You know, we think that a successful church has got to be big, right? A lot of people think that. The more people you have, the more successful you are, right? He said things purposely to get fewer people to follow him. He said hard things so that people would scratch their heads and walk away, and the people who really wanted to know would stick around and ask him. Because those are the people who he really wanted to follow him. The people who really wanted to know him, because those are the people who would really get something done for him when he was gone. Isn't that something we think that the more people is the way? Actually, he repelled people so that he had the people who were the real deal. Isn't that something? So that's the real Jesus Christ. His judgment is just. Okay, a couple more here. Go to the Old Testament here. Go to 2 Samuel 23. Things that are just. The judgment of Jesus Christ. His ways are just. 2 Samuel 23. Look at verse 3. 23:3. The God of Israel said, "The rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God." And there's instructions for anybody who's got a leadership position. How do you rule? You rule justly. And what's that? What's involved with just, being just? Notice what it mentions right after that. Ruling in the fear of God. So I think thinking on things that are just goes hand in hand with fearing God. And I'll tell you, I had a father who taught me the right way. He taught me fear in the right way. And I know everybody wasn't privileged to have this growing up. I thank God that I had the dad I had because I feared him. And at the same time, I did not walk around and tiptoe when I was around him, like people would think that that's fear. Okay? I feared him in that I knew not to mess with him. I knew not to cross him. I knew not to do the opposite of what he told me to do. And if I did, I was scared. Literally scared. That's good. That's the same way we ought to have an attitude towards God the Father, is believe what he says so much that you're scared to do something that would be contrary to what he said to do. And if you've ever been scared that God just might discipline you, chastise you, judge you, that's good for something that you did. That's good. That's a healthy attitude. You know, people say, no fear. We had the bumper stickers many years ago. You still see a few of them floating around. No fear. What a stupid thing. You ought to have a fear, a healthy fear of God. You ought to understand that you don't mess with him. And you understand that if you do something against his commandments, he has every right to judge you for that. It may be sooner, maybe later, but he's got every right to do that. All right? So thinking justly has to do with fearing God, according to 2 Samuel. Go to one more, Deuteronomy 16. One more here on being just, thinking on things that are just. Deuteronomy 16. Again, we've just been through three of these, and I'm sitting here thinking and just measuring myself, and I'm thinking to myself, this is so contrary to what I'm fed every day by the world we live in. If you pay attention to any kind of media, internet, radio, TV, you're just fed with this, you're okay. But you're not okay. And the Bible just lays things out as plain as can be, and they're right. Deuteronomy 16, look at verse 18. Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So that, look at verse 20 there, that which is altogether just would be, and if you look at the verses in this chapter here, you find out that God is laying out his commands for the people of Israel. And by abiding by those commands, obeying them, they would be just. So the biblical way of thinking and thinking just things has to do with knowing what your Bible says and then putting it into action. Simple as can be. You see how we're repeating ourselves tonight with true, honest, just? It all goes back to the Word of God. It all goes back to Jesus Christ. And doing things because the Word of God says to do them, and doing things to please Jesus Christ. All right? It just all goes together there. So justice has to do with fairness in the sight of God and thinking on right things the way that God lays them out, not the way that this world does. Okay? Next one on our list here, Philippians 4. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. Next one, whatsoever things are pure. Okay, so when I think of pure, I think of things that are not dirty, clean, no imperfections. I remember going engagement ring shopping. And when you go engagement ring shopping, you get a grade on the diamond that you're going to buy. And the more expensive the diamond, the fewer flaws the diamond has, right? You can get a diamond that looks okay, you know, just looking at it, but you take it to somebody who actually knows about this stuff and they can take a look at it and they say, you've got all kinds of imperfections here, and it wouldn't be worth all that much. Things that are pure have zero imperfections, all right? So what's pure? Let's go to the Psalms again. Go to Psalm 12. Thinking on things that are pure. Psalm 12. Probably know this one. You should know this one. Good verse to memorize. Psalm 12, verse 6. Thinking on the right things. Let's think on pure things. The Bible says, what is pure? Let's see what Psalm 12, 6 says. The words of the Lord are pure words. You know a great thing to think on? Well, we started it earlier in the evening. Joshua 1, 8. Meditating on God's words. What better thing to put in your mind than God's words? A good way to put the words of God in your mind is through songs. And a lot of the Psalms, if you read through the Psalms, you'll find out many of the Psalms have been actually put to music. There's a preacher north of here that put the Gospel of John to music. And he's got these little, they're kind of, when you first listen to them, it's kind of odd because this one man's way of putting the Word of God to music. But the more you listen to it, it sticks. Because when you hear music and words that go along with that, because you have the music going along with it, the words stick with you. I mentioned this a while back. You have words in your head from many years ago, don't you? From music, lyrics. So a great way to memorize the Word of God, make your own little songs with the Word of God. The kids in Sunday school make fun of me because I have these little songs that I make up. And they're kind of silly. But I remember them. I remember them, and some of them are kind of off the wall. Sherry's, it's funny, on our way to church sometimes we'll see what the verse is that we need to memorize. If we had memorized it that week, which oftentimes is the case, we forget, and we'll try to put it to a song. We have a 30-minute ride here, so we got plenty of time. And we'll put it to a song. And immediately I come up with this ridiculous song, and then later on we'll both remember it. Oftentimes, not always, but because you remember things. For some reason, our brains, we remember things that are weird. You ever notice that? We remember odd things sometimes. But when you put things to music, you have a better chance of remembering. Think on pure things, the purest thing you can think of. You know the only thing I have on this earth that's pure? The Word of God. There's nothing else on this earth that's pure. Okay? Another one. Go to Psalm 19. We'll stick in the Psalms here for a couple of these. Psalm 19. Verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. That's a great verse right there. It says that, again, the commandments of the Lord are pure, Word of God. What does it do for you? It enlightens your eyes. You know what thinking on the Word of God will do for you? It will enable you to see the world clear as God sees it himself. Just as clear. And you won't have this cloudy glaze over your eyes like you have if you don't know what the Word of God says. You'll see this world and you'll see this world completely opposite if you don't see it the way that God sees it. And you'll see this world as a way of, oh, there's so much to offer. Oh, this place is great. And you'll get tied to this world. But when you see things through the Word of God, you see just the opposite. You see how dirty it is. See how wicked it is. And you long to get out of here. Okay? So pure things, thinking on the Word of God. One more. Go to Proverbs, verse chapter 30. You probably know this one, many of you. And these are all repetitive. Several things mentioned in the Word of God several of these verses that talk about things that are pure speak of the same thing. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. There it is again. That's three times in three different passages. Things that are pure. God's Word. Notice it says, He's a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. You know what the Word of God will do for you according to that verse right there? It'll protect you. It will. Okay? What is the armor of God? You have a shield of faith. What do you use a shield for? Protect you, right? To quench the fiery darts of the wicked. What's the faith in? The shield of faith. Where's the faith in? It's in the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See how these things all just flow together? Okay? Next one on our list. We got true, honest, just, pure. We got two more. Lovely. Only got one verse for this one, so this is a neat one. Go to Song of Solomon, that book that you hardly ever turn to. But what a great book. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon. Go to chapter 5. I remember Sharon and I hadn't been here going to church here very long. I still remember pastor preaching from this passage I'm going to read from. And the way he preached it that night was, you want to get a portrait of Jesus Christ? Don't look at any of the pictures anybody's drawn. Look at the picture painted by the words in Song of Solomon chapter 5. And look what it mentions here towards the end about things that are lovely. We're looking at things that are lovely. Don't see that word a whole lot in the Word of God, the word lovely, but here's a great place to see it. Look at Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 10. If you know anything about Song of Solomon, it's a conversation. It's a conversation between the bride and the bridegroom, and you and I know this as the bridegroom being Jesus Christ and the bride being His church, which if you're saved, you're a part of. Okay? Verse 10. This is the bride describing the bridegroom. So this would be a description of Jesus Christ. I love this. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Hey, right off the bat there, that's quite different than the pictures you've seen on movies and TV, isn't it? They don't paint him like he really is, because they haven't seen what the Bible says about him oftentimes. Verse 12. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. Love that. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether, there it is, lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. You know who is lovely according to the Word of God? The Lord Jesus Christ is lovely. You got a whole picture of what he looks like right there. And you ever notice a lot of the movies that Hollywood made, they show a facial of what they think he looks like. And then there's a few that, and some of the older ones, they actually don't show his face. I think that's good. I don't know about you. I may be weird on this, but I have rapture dreams. I haven't had one in a long time. It seems like maybe once every couple of years I'll have a rapture dream. I mean, there's Jesus Christ in the clouds, and I'm meeting him along with a lot of. I have these dreams, and I can't tell what he looks like. I really can't. In my dreams, I can't get a close-up face. I think that's good. You got a lot of people who supposedly have seen him, and they haven't seen him. Seen somebody, they've seen another Jesus. The real Jesus is right there, and folks, he is altogether lovely. We ought to be thinking on him. According to Philippians 4, we're supposed to think on lovely things, right? We ought to be thinking on Jesus Christ. All right? Here's a great way to think on him. Think about that day where you do see him up there. That's a lovely thing to consider, the fact that I will defy gravity without NASA's help. I'll defy gravity, and I'll meet him in the air. And if you're saved, so will you. That's a great thing. Okay? Isn't that something, the millions of dollars that they spend out there to defy gravity? No money needed to defy gravity at the rapture. It's just the power of Jesus Christ. That's power, man. To draw all the saved people that are in the grave and alive in one shot, that's power. Explain that, science. You probably didn't learn that in photonics, did you? Nobody's got that answer. No, Jesus Christ has got that answer. Amen. Okay, we got one more. Go to Acts chapter 10. The last one is good report. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Things of good report. When I think of good report, I think of a person's testimony, what they're all about. And I'll give you just a couple examples here of men of good report. If you look at Acts chapter 10, verse 22, this is Cornelius. And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews. It goes on there and talks more about him. But notice what's mentioned there. This is a Gentile. He's a just man. That was in our list, just. He fears God. We had that earlier. He's of good report. You know what that means? That means that people thought highly of him. He had respect. He had a good reputation. You know what we ought to be thinking on? Things and people of good reputation, of good report. All right? I can think of the way the news media lays things out. Many of you remember many years ago had this stinking White House scandal and with Bill Clinton. I won't even go into the details because it's just ridiculous. But that was not a man of good report. Yet what did the world want you thinking about for probably almost a year? That's all you saw on the TV. They wanted you to be thinking the opposite. They wanted you to think of something of bad report. Isn't it interesting when you go to the checkout line at the grocery store, they have the stinking National Enquirer there, right? And it's thought of as a joke, isn't it? The National Enquirer is pretty much thought of as a joke. But if you remember a few weeks ago, all of a sudden, the National Enquirer had credibility because one of the presidential candidates had all this information about his past, and suddenly the National Enquirer is given all this credibility. And I remember seeing the story, and I'm like, wait a minute, consider the source. Nobody's ever trusted this source, and now all of a sudden we're trusting the source. Guess what? It turned out the source was probably not right. You know what the media wants you to focus on? Things of bad report, the opposite of what your Bible wants you to think on. Okay? The things that have got a lot of media attention over the last few years. Remember the Casey Anthony trial? Okay, what a terrible thing. First off, you had a death, and then you had a mother who was very suspect. She got off, but she didn't have a good reputation before that. But what do people want you to think about? What's the world want you to, what do they program, they throw at you? They throw at you things that are not of good report. So one of the keys to right thinking, folks, is just ditching all this stuff the world throws at you. Just getting rid of it, throwing it out, and replace it. Don't just leave nothing in its place. Replace it with the Word of God. Replace it with thoughts of Jesus Christ. Okay? Last thing here, go to Matthew chapter 1. We'll close with this. Matthew 1, I'll give you an example here. I was going to give you another example of good report. That's over in Acts chapter 22. There's another one over there. You can take a look at that one on your own. But go to Matthew 1. And here's just an example. I had a couple of these, but we'll just hit this one. An example of a man who took time to think, and he actually had, you know, we're actually going to go down the list here, and you're going to see he covers the list as we go here. A man who took time to think. And I say that because the world we live in is everything goes so fast nowadays that you don't have time to think, or at least you don't think you have time to think. You got to make time to think. I know, and Pastor probably said the same thing, when sit down to prepare a message, you know, there's obviously reading, there's cross-referencing, there's study, there's either writing things down or typing things out. And one of the things that helps me a lot is just to sit there and stare off in the distance and think about all the stuff that I just looked at. And it's a pretty neat thing how God will reveal some things to you when you're just thinking about what you just read and what you just studied. Well, that makes sense that he would do that, because what did Philippians 4 say? It told you all these things to think on, and we saw the Word of God pop up several times there. So you ought to take time to just think about what you've read and what you've studied. I know it's really easy to get in this mode of doing your Bible reading and getting on with your day, and you never think about it again. A good practice would be to get in the Bible and then just stop and sit aside some time to just sit there with nobody around, no distractions, and maybe stare out the window or stare at the wall if you have to, and just think about what you just read. And God will show you some things when you start to think on what he said. It's a great thing. So here's a man who took time, and I'm glad that he took some time to think, because oftentimes we think without, we react without thinking. Nobody ever does that, but I've done that. Okay? You just react instead of thinking. If this man that we're going to read here would have just reacted without thinking, oh, what a different world we live in today. Look at Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Okay, so here's a man named Joseph. We oftentimes focus on Mary, and Joseph we never talk about. This is a great example to learn from right here. Joseph. In verse 20, I came across this here several weeks, and it stuck with me, and it's kind of where the message came from. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things. Do you know what was in Joseph's mind at that point in time? The woman that I'm about to marry is with child. Okay, and there's Old Testament law that says I can have her stoned. And those things are running through Joseph's mind. I could have her stoned. But did you notice there in verse 19 it says he was not willing to make her a public example. So he didn't really want to do that. And then it says he was minded to put her away privily. So his thought was, I'm going to make sure that this is kept secret. Okay? And he took time in verse 20. I love it. Says that while he thought on these things. And when he's thinking, look what happens. He gets something from God, doesn't he? That goes right along with what we just said. He thought on these things, and then the angel of the Lord shows up and gives him a very important message. So let's do the test here. Whatsoever things are true. Okay, in this situation, things were not as they appeared. When a woman gets pregnant, there's got to be a father, right? In this case, no man on the earth was the father of this child. Whatsoever things are true, the angel reveals to him what is true. What is true is what is conceived in Mary is of the Holy Ghost. Joseph, you don't need to put her away. It's okay. And what a great thing. Had he not taken time to think on these things and just acted irrationally, you know what he could have done? Mary could have been killed. But he thought on these things, and the Lord shows him some things. Okay, so true, honest. Okay, so things that are honest. He knows Mary well enough to have confidence that she would never do anything such as cheat on him, right? As a result of that, this is why, verse 19, he's minded to put her away privily. And he's thinking on these things before he acts. And as a result of him honestly dealing with the situation, he actually acts in the right manner, correct? So things that are true, things that are honest. He's doing well. Things that are just. Did you know what verse 19 says? Being a just man, okay? You are what you think. Joseph is a just man because he has just thoughts. I really believe that. All right? Things that are pure. Isn't that something? Mary's a virgin. She's pure. Yet she's with child. Yet she's still a virgin. And the baby that's conceived is as pure as can be and is always pure and is still pure. Isn't that something? The way that the whole thing's... Okay, lovely. Who's she with child? Who's the child? The one we just read about in Song of Solomon. Jesus Christ. Of good report. I wrote this down. Mary and Joseph still maintained good report, good testimonies, you could say, in spite of something that appeared to be extremely awkward. Really? Okay, now, I don't know how people perceived this at the time, but I know how they're perceived today. We don't think of Joseph as a bad man. We don't think of Mary as a bad woman, do we? They have good reports. Do you know why? Because of all those things. Things that are true, things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, a good report. And here we are today because of that. That whole account right there, it really stuck on me while he thought on these things. Joseph took time to think, and because of that, God reveals truth to him that has a lasting impact on us today because of who's born. And that's something. One place to end with here. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll end here. Verse you're probably familiar with. I like acronyms. And one of the acronyms I use with my kids I teach, and I use it myself, is TBT. Thoughts become things. They do. You are today, I am today, what I am, largely in part because of the things that I've been thinking about for the last 43 years I've been alive, and however long you've been alive, okay? Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. Look at the end part here. It says, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. When you start to read the word of God, it will show you what you're all about. It reveals truth to you. James says it's like looking in a mirror. And what I use a mirror for is to fix flaws. Know what you use a mirror for? See what's wrong with me. The word of God, when we take it, we're supposed to pick it up and read. And when God says, hey, you have this wrong thought, this wrong intent, we're supposed to fix it, folks. We're supposed to repent. Repentance is not a one-time thing. If you've been, however long you've been saved, you haven't stopped repenting. Now, constantly do that. Because the Word of God, will, the more you spend time in it, it will reveal to you what you really are so that you become more like Jesus Christ. Okay? Philippians, 1 Corinthians 2:16, the last part of that verse says, we have the mind of Christ. Really? I don't always have the mind of Christ. Do you? But I have the mind of Christ right here. And there's a need for constant, not just a one-time thing, constant reprogramming my mind with the mind of Christ so that I actually have in my mind what He wants me to have from His Word right here. And when I have that, I'm able to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh and do things the way He wants them done and fulfill God's will for my life. And same would be true for anybody who does that. And it all goes back to the things that you're thinking on. So how are your thoughts? The Word of God will discern your motives behind your thoughts. Not just your thoughts, but the motives behind your thoughts and reveal to you what you really are. And it's a constant matter of getting my thoughts in line with God's thoughts right here. And if you're honest, that's something you got to do every day. Get in line with what the Word of God says as far as the right way to think. Six things. What sort of things are true? What sort of things are honest? Just, pure, lovely, good report. You want to have the right kind of thinking, that's the things to think about. Clear out all the other mess and fill it with those six things, and you'll have the right mind, you'll have the mind that God wants you to have. All right? Let's bow our heads tonight, and don't know what the Lord has brought to your attention, but I just encourage you to deal with those things as He would have you deal with them. Lord, we just want to thank You for giving us the truth and showing us what we really are, and pray that none of us go away from here thinking that we are anything, because we are nothing. And we just want to pray for the day, the night, and the week ahead, and that our thoughts would be Your thoughts, that we would have a mind that thinks on the things that were laid out here for us in Your Word tonight. And we just pray for wisdom in the days ahead as the world throws so many things at us that are the opposite of what You want. May we be discerning. And may we act in accordance with Your Word and not what we want and the way our feelings may lead us. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
This is Pastor Eccleston again. I trust that the preceding message was a spiritual blessing to you. If God has spoken to your heart, I encourage you to respond in whatever area He is leading. You know, there's no more important issue than your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you sense your need to trust Him as your personal Savior, He will save you if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work to pay the full debt of your sin. Please call us or write us or email us in this most important matter or any other spiritual matter. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Are you seeking the Lord? I truly hope so.